Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Herculean Physique with Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm struggling with COVID. I somehow managed to dodge it all this time, and it got me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so how have your symptoms been?
It initially felt like a cold or allergy type of thing. And then it started progressively getting worse. And then sneezing was introduced in with the coughing. And then it felt a lot like bronchitis. So we went and got a home test, and we tested ourselves because my wife had some of the same symptoms, and I tested positive right away. So we had to reconfigure everything in terms of our daily routine. I'm actually feeling better. I spent a day, except for the podcast, sleeping, and that seemed to have done a world of good. And so I'm giving my body everything it needs to fight this. And today I'm actually feeling quite well.
Well, good. I mean, it's one. So first of all, I'm terribly sorry that that happened to you, but I'm glad to hear that at the very least that it seems to be, you know, something that's manageable. I know back whenever I contracted it, it was in December of, I guess that would be 2020. We have a theory that it might have smuggled into our house probably sometime around the because of through Thanksgiving. We think uh-huh. That's kind of where we picked it from. And so for me, it was just a very persistent and nagging cough that, you know, it's yes. Just my – so in the office that I work in, especially during that time, we were being extremely isolated where I would work on one end and my boss would work on the other. So, you know, we were, you know, we always stayed fairly distant from one another. We tried to keep our contact, you know, just as minimal as possible. But then he would hear me, you know, begin to start coughing. And then it was just more prominent as time went on. He was just like, oh yeah, you've got it. But so thankfully, you know, it seemed like as quickly as it came on, thankfully it kind of went away about the same. And uh-huh. You know, as of right now, I haven't experienced any sort of, I guess what they call long COVID, which is where you're experiencing the symptoms for a really long time. So, man, I'm bummed to hear that, but it sounds like hopefully you've got everything under control.
I think so. The coughing has, I still have a couple of cough attacks. Today I had two, I believe. Yesterday I had four. But other than those and a couple of sneezing bouts, I exercised for hours today. And yesterday,
okay, good.
So I only missed a day from working out, and today I made up for it. It's again, it's amazing how quickly this came on, like as something to worry about. I work with kids in schools, so I'm sure I caught okay. It in one of the classrooms because whenever I go and take attendance, it's there's always a few kids that are out with COVID. So again, I'm surprised I dodged the bullet for so long. It's here, and I'm trying to do the best with it, and that's my concern too with the long COVID.
Sure, sure. Well, so where you guys are at, are they going back to, you know, to mask mandates or social distancing, any of that sort of stuff?
They're encouraging it, but they're not requiring it.
Okay, I'm with you. I got you. Well, shoot, man. I hope that you get over it quickly, and there's no lasting effects.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, so I want to thank you for having me on here, and whenever we go through and we talk, just in order for me to keep my in order to keep me on topic, I try to go through and I do, you know, just like a little bullet point presentation where I can go through and I've got my numbers all laid out, and
uh-huh.
So I'm excited to talk to you today, but then something happened. And so I'm going to go through, I'm going to pivot just a little bit and kind of break away from my norm just so that way I can go through and tell a story. But as I was going through and I was, you know, putting my notes down for today, I think I found a way to kind of work back into this, into the initial premise of what we were going to talk about, which is learning to embrace failure, because I think that's something that's extremely important. You know, I feel like anyone can go through and, you know, you can be happy when things are going well, but it's when things are down, that's where you have to be able to dig deep and then build up into, you know, something even better. And that is something that is kind of difficult to do. But so then, so we had this event, for lack of a better term. And so I wanted to come on it and kind of talk about that, because it will kind of go through and tie in. So in the conversations that we've had in the past, so I am an advocate of bodybuilding. And just for potentially for a new listener, one of the things that we're talking about whenever we're talking about bodybuilding, it's a very specific type of training that's based around going through and lifting weights. So there's a variety of buzzwords that kind of get thrown around there, whether they call it, you know, weightlifting or resistance training, any of those types of words that they use. Basically, what we're talking about is we're working to lift weights. But what separates bodybuilding from, say, you know, powerlifting and other sports is that bodybuilding is about building a certain aesthetic. And so primarily what that aesthetic is attempting to do is to build muscle symmetry. So you're going through and you're working out every single muscle in your body, so that way everything is all equally developed. It's that thing. This is where the meme comes from, where people talk about never skip leg day. I'm sure, you know, we've seen those posts all over the place. And it's the thing where you have these, you know, these gym bros, for lack of a better term. So you have these gym bros that have this, you know, these remarkably developed physiques above the waist, but then they're always wearing the long pants because they don't want to go through and do the squats and the deadlifts to go through and build their legs up properly. So they've been skipping leg day just because those aren't, you know, the sexiest of muscles that are going to draw the attention of people. So so bodybuilding is about going through and building this overall aesthetic where you're working out everything equally. This is also important from a medical standpoint, because if you have muscles, most of our muscles have, you know, a counterpoint. So it's if you develop one part, if you overdevelop a certain, so let's say on your arms, just for a simple example, if you go through and you overly develop your biceps, but you don't bother to go through and develop your triceps, those muscles aren't going to be equal. And so as a result, that leaves you vulnerable for injury. So it's a thing where you're attempting to go through and build this overall physique. And so by doing that, you know, there's no stone left unturned. You're going through and you're working out all these different muscle types. Well, so as I was going through and I was building this philosophy for how I was going to go through and lift weights, I stole from Todd McFarlane, who is the creator of Spawn. When Todd was going through and he was building his empire, he said he wanted to develop these four pillars, and it's these four pillars that he would build his house upon. And so for Todd, you know, you had the comics, you had action figures, you had animated series, and you had movies. And he felt that if he could go through and build those four pillars, he would have a very stable house to build his house upon. So I stole his idea. And so basically my four pillars that I began to develop was the physical. Say that again.
You adopted and adapted his ideal. You didn't steal
there
it.
There we go.
A lot of people have four pillars, you know, to build a foundation. So
adapting his idea, what I did is, so I developed, and so you have the physical, you have the intellectual, you have the emotional, and you have the social. And so in going through and developing these, I know we've talked about it in the past, and I didn't realize how thin my social pillar had become, so much so that I didn't consider it as, you know, as equal as the other three. And so that social pillar, usually whenever I would go through and I would reflect upon it, I felt it was the thinnest. And ironically, to lead back to the beginning of our conversation, it was because COVID had gone through and had weakened that pillar so much. And so typically whenever you're talking about social, now I know you work out at home. I do work out at the gym. I work out at a professional, you know, full-scale gym. And I had considered the idea of possibly setting up something in my home, but at the end of the day, I didn't have the space for it. And I also felt that the cost that may be inflicted, you know, it's, hey, let's just, we'll go to the gym. And so that way I'm using their equipment. I'm using all their heavy weights. But also for me, it was a mental thing. It was kind of, well, whenever COVID hit, my boss gave me the opportunity to work from home. And I said, absolutely not, because I like the idea of going to the office. Now, at the time, we would just, you know, we'd wait for the mail to be delivered, and then we would be closed to the public. But still, at the very least, you know, I was at the office in my same chair, working at my same computer. So that way, there was a little bit of a semblance of normalcy you know, to deal with all that, because I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, more mental struggles that was happening because of the isolation of COVID. So whenever I talk about social, you know, it's, I always kind of want to go through, we pay too much attention to the negative aspects of the social. And so when I say that, what I mean is, so when you're going through and you're in the gym, you're expected to follow a certain amount of gym etiquette. And so right. Often it can be things, you know, like, you know, hey, shower regularly, wash your stuff, you know, don't leer at the women that are wearing yoga pants because then they'll quit wearing them. You know, so it's just little stuff like that where you're trying not to be a jerk. You know, you're trying to go through and make sure that everyone's having this good experience, and they're all going to be, you know, deep in their heads anyway because they're taking care of themselves. And so one of the social aspects of the gym that I forgot about is this interaction that you have with other people. Now, I've talked about this in the past, and I feel like it bears repeating. So I only have a limited amount of time in the gym. I'm also a big proponent of what we call antagonistic sets. Antagonistic sets is where, again, as I mentioned, we have these muscle pairings. And so anytime that I try to do, say, like an overhead shoulder press, I'm going to immediately then move to the next station and do a lateral pull down. So that way I'm getting a good back and forth and a full range of motion. So that way I'm developing my body, hopefully, with, you know, symmetry. And also the benefit of that is that while my shoulders are resting from having done that overhead press, but yet if I'm still going through and doing, even if it's, you know, the lateral pull downs or doing something to, you know, to develop my trapezius muscles or something like that, I'm constantly trying to keep my heart rate elevated, because if I can stay above a certain heartbeat level, a certain heart rate, then I'm going through and I'm in a fat burning mode. So, and that's the biggest struggle that I've attempted to do, is to preserve my muscle while maintaining my fat burning levels. So as a result, I am constantly moving. There is no downtime. I do not chat. I do not, you know, I'm not talking up the babes. I'm in there to work because I only have a certain amount of time. So because of my time constraints and because I'm trying to keep my heart rate elevated, I wear these big giant headphones, the big over-the-ear headphones that just basically screams, leave me alone, you know, because, again, I'm there to work. I've got to get stuff done. But so I mention all this because once I get to the end of my workout and when things are starting to close down, then I'm much more likely to interact with people. I think it's just something that I've kind of been with, you know, for a really long time, where like I would see, so we tend to be creatures of habit, you know. So if you go to the gym at the same time every day, you're not the only person that does that. And so then as a result, you're going to start to see the same people over and over again, especially if you're pretty dedicated and if you're in there 5 or 6 times a week. And then if they're really dedicated, yeah, so you start seeing the people at the same time. You may not know their names, but you start to recognize them, you know. And so you can do the head nods of acknowledgement and stuff like that, whereas, you know, I don't want my workout to be interrupted. And at the same time, I don't want to interrupt someone else's workout. So I, you know, treat people the way that I would like to be treated. But then, you know, so like as I'm leaving, like, and this is before COVID, you know, like there was this pair of women, and I called them the cardio grannies. I didn't know their name, you know, but I would see them in there, and they would be on those, you know, treadmills getting stuff done. And I was like, good for them. You know, it's like I see them, you know, they're doing that hard work. And so without trying to insert myself too much into their workout or anything like that, you know, I would just come along just real fast, just a couple of sentences, you know, just like, hey, ladies, keep up that good work. You guys are doing a good job, you know, that sort of thing. And then I would bounce and I'd be out. And then, so then COVID strikes, you know, so from, what was that, March or April roughly of 2020, you know, everything shuts down. It takes, Oklahoma probably opened up a little bit earlier than everyone else just because of our political leanings, but that's a whole other thing. But so in that time that we're away, I kind of forgot how to interact with other people. And, you know, it wasn't me being a jerk. It was, you know, it was just me, hey, you know, I kind of need to stay away from everyone and they can stay away from me. And, you know, we'll all go through and we'll do our own thing. And so as a result, that social pillar, you know, it just kept getting, you know, thinner and thinner. But as you start to, so once you go through, I think one of the biggest like barriers for entry when it comes to a gym is people are they're intimidated because either they don't feel like they belong there or they're not entirely certain how to use this machine and they don't want to ask someone because they are afraid of revealing their ignorance for whatever reason. But so once they can start to get over that hump, and so once they start to get in there and they start to figure out how everything is going, then you can kind of, you can tell who the gym regulars are. And so the metaphor that I just kept going back to over and over again was the 1991 film Point Break with Keanu Reeves and the late, great Patrick Swayze. And so in that movie, Keanu plays a FBI agent that's trying to infiltrate a group of surfers because they believe they're robbing banks. And so Keanu Reeves asked his partner, he says, why can't I just, you know, walk around with this thing under my arm? He's referring to the surfboard. You know, why can't I just walk around with the surfboard under my arm and act stoned all the time? And the guy points out, he says, look at them. They're like a tribe. You know, you've got to be out there in the middle of it in order to be able to really understand it. And so they will accept you. And right. I think the gym is kind of the same way. Once you start to get in there, you can see it in a person. You can see the way that they carry themselves. There's a certain amount of confidence that comes from working out. And then when you see those people, you can tell that muscle memory has been developed. So when they get in there and they start bench pressing, you can tell they know what they're doing versus the newbies. They will get there eventually, you know, but as of right now, they just, you know, they don't have it. And so that's not a bad thing that, you know, they'll get there. And so these new people, they need to be encouraged. And generally speaking, you know, once they get involved in a program, then it's kind of one of those things that it's all that people can talk about. One of the things, you know, that I would compare it to, and we see it a lot in social media where someone gets excited about something, they've seen something. And as the saying goes, you know, greater indeed are pleasures that are shared. So if I come along and I see a movie that I really like or a television show that I really like, I want to rush out there and I want to tell people, yes, man, you guys should watch Wednesday on Netflix. That show is really cool. You know, so, and it's the same thing, but what I've found is that with the gym, it's a little bit different because once you go through and you start talking about it on a regular basis, you know, there's a lot of people you'll get on a blowback, for lack of a better term. And I think it's because they look at you and, you know, it's, I'm trying to put it, you know, it's just, as the expression goes, a hater's going to hate, you know, it's right. A thing where by you going through and you developing yourself and trying to improve yourself, and then people, they can get that, oh, what, you think you're better than me now because you're going through and you're working out in the gym. And it's like, I don't feel like I'm better than anyone, but, you know, but I'm excited about my progress. And so because of that, I really don't tend to talk about my journey on social media just because I'm afraid either no one's going to care or they're going to feel, oh, look at him being, you know, arrogant and this sort of stuff. So I got to a point where, except for coming on here and talking with you, I don't really have a whole lot of people that I can talk to about my journey that I've been on. I'm helping my son out, you know, and so that's good. So we can kind of bounce things back and forth. And so this is where I'm starting to get closer here towards what I call, you know, the incident. So there's a guy who works out there at the same gym that I do. And we're pretty close to about the same schedule. And I see this dude in there all the time. And I mean, he is jacked. I mean, I think he would be like a month of training worth of being ready to go on a stage, you know, because I think he's that well developed. And so I happen to be finishing up about the same time that he did. And we've exchanged, you know, the bro pleasantries, the fist bumps, the nods, you know, that sort of stuff. But so obviously I see him, but I've never really considered if he sees me. You know, just because of my own insecurities and things like that. But obviously he does, because as we were, you know, breaking down at the end of both of our workouts, he just asked me, and he was like, "Hey man, do you stretch after your workouts?" And I said, "You know, hey, I've seen you on that stretching machine. And because I've seen you on that, I've started using it." And I'm just like, holy cow, man. Yeah, it's changed my life to go through and, you know, to do that stretching machine to get those muscles all loose. So then he started breaking down for me all the different stretches and, you know, stuff like this that he does. And he's like, one of the personal trainers, you know, that's up there, he was like, he had me on this stretching thing, and he wanted me to go for like an hour to go through and stretch this thing out. And he's using, you know, the foam rollers and all that sort of stuff. And he said, but if I go through and if I don't do it, then I'm going, you know, it's like, I feel it and all that sort of stuff. Here's just this guy, and he's in there all the time. And yeah. And so he found something that was like, hey, I saw this, I started doing this, this improved me, I think you should, you know, it wasn't like, I won't go so far as to say it wasn't unsolicited advice, but he was just like, hey man, do you ever do this? Because it has changed my life, you know, tremendously. And so because of that, we were just two people that were going through and sharing this part of our journey that we've been on. And so I think by going through and doing that, I've forgotten what that social contract is like with other people who go through and share, you know, this journey that you're on. And so as they say, you know, Stan Lee, the creator of Spider-Man and the Hulk and so many great Marvel characters, he always talked about how everyone's comic book, or every comic is someone's first comic book. So for your listeners, maybe they're discovering this show with me for the first time. And so they're nervous, or they're going through and you know, they don't know where to start. And so I'm here to tell you from my own personal experience what I experienced within that moment of sharing just this quick little conversation with this guy. You know, there are so many seats at the table. This is not a zero-sum game, and a person's success does not limit or prevent my own. So it's always been my mentality that there's more than enough seats at the table, and I'm more than happy to reach back and help someone else who is coming up, because, you know, I want everyone to feel the amount of success, the amount of pride that I feel whenever I go through and I'm working out. It's not about, and I mean, I even caught myself there as I'm going through, as I'm talking about this other guy, I'm comparing myself to him. And so, and believe me, once we start to get the meat of the conversation, I'll show how that, you know, directs back to this and why we shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's not because I want people to go through, whenever I tell someone, oh man, I want you to hit the gym, it's not because, hey, I think you need to lose weight, tubby. You know, it's not that in the least bit. It's about developing this ultimate form of yourself that right. You're going to be happy with, you know, that you're going to be satisfied with. And so like, I set myself out for a goal for 2022. I said, I want to do 365 miles worth of cardio this year. And so that was my mentality. It was this small goal that gave me something to match or to strive towards. And so I got to 365 miles somewhere about the middle of September. And so I was like, okay, so now where am I going to go from here? So it was just like, well, let's just keep going and let's see how far I can go. And I'm going to quit counting after tomorrow, because tomorrow, unless something goes tremendously wrong, boy, knock wood. I wished the bad juju on me there. So if everything goes well, as of tomorrow, I'll pass 450 miles. And I said, okay,
congratulations.
It's a good solid number, right? And then I said, I'm going to quit counting because then for 2023, I've already got it set. I'm going to do 500 miles. And while I know that sounds like a lot to the long distance runners, they're like, that's it. That's all you're doing is 500. I do that in a couple of months. Yeah, but for me, it's not because I'm going to do my cardio and then I'm going to work out and then maybe do a little bit more cardio and then do my stretching. And I've only got a certain amount of time that I'm able to get this done. But so then I started thinking, 500 miles, man, that's a long way to go. But then I had to break it down. Okay, so let's see. So if I do, five sessions a week and I do 2 miles per session, then I've got 50 weeks to go through and get that done. And so, but if I'm doing 6 days a week, I can squeeze in a little extra time there, or maybe I don't have to do quite 2 miles. And so it is something, it's these manageable goals that we're trying to get to. And so by going through and doing that, I stumbled across this, and it was like, so I've made the statements on here before. Sometimes I find the articles, sometimes I feel like the articles find me. And so this was this moment where I was, so here I have this conversation with this gentleman today, and it's like, well, I was like, well, this is going in the interview. It has to, because to go through, I had forgotten how important that social pillar was. And I had even kind of, because of COVID, because we were all so separated, there's a rule that they have in life where they say, it's one of Robert Greene's 48 laws of power, where he says, if you can't have something, you show disdain for it. And so if we go through and if we're all broken up because of COVID and we can't all get together and socialize, well, you say, well, that's okay, because now I can go through, I can do my own thing. I'm not, beholden to someone else or a partner or anything like that. So I can just work out on my own timetable. So you try to take that negative and you spin it into something positive. And I think that's what I had kind of done, because I work out by myself. I don't really have a spotter. And it's like, well, that's okay. I don't need one. That's what I've told myself. And so unfortunately, that social pillar had atrophied for me. And so now I kind of want to go through and redirect and try to strengthen that social pillar as much as I can. And so part of that is doing things like coming on here and talking with you.
As always, you give me so much to think about and so much to process.
I know. So that was part of the thing. So we go through here and a lot of times I have seen a little bit of the negatives part of that social thing. So like whenever someone comes along and they're getting involved in a regular process and so you're starting to see them on a regular basis, then if for whatever reason they go through and they miss a day or something like that, I've seen where, people can kind of come along with, hey, where were you at? We didn't see you yesterday. And it's almost a little bit of like a bullying thing. And so that's kind of the opposite of what I would try to do to encourage people to come into the gym. So it's a thing where, you've got to figure out, what your motivation is. And so sometimes I think that negative reinforcement, I suppose it does work for some people, but for me, not so much. And so it's just kind of one of those things where I would rather be, I'd rather be inclusive in a lot of stuff. And so as you go through, and so once you start working out and you're doing it fairly regularly, there can be times where you go through, You're looking around at the other people. You're seeing what they're doing. And, you know, we do have this natural inclination to want to compare. And so, like, say I get in and someone is already there. And so I go through and I do my workout and then, you know, hey, because I'm going to hit it, I'm going to get in, I'm going to get out, and then I'm going to go about my day because I've got work to do, I've got stuff to do, I've got to get to work. And meanwhile, they're still over there working out. And so then I kind of start to feel bad because it's like, man, they got here before me and they're staying afterwards. But I don't know, is this the only time that they get to work out? I mean, is this going to be their one workout for the week? Are they going to be in there 5 days a week? And so we have this natural inclination to want to go through and compare ourselves to these other people. And I think that this is I think it's a wrong path for a lot of people to take. And so I mentioned that. So I thought one of the things that I would do is I would try to explain to people that may consider themselves, oh, well, y'all, I'm not measuring up, I'm not doing these things. But then I want to go through and explain, well, you might be doing a little bit better than you think you are. And so there's a story that's floating around there online. I don't know if it's true. It may be, it may not. It could just be one of those urban legends or things that have got twisted where Albert Einstein is going through and he's writing these equations on the board. I think it was like a series of multiplication statements. And so he's going through and he's doing all the stuff and he's writing it all out. And then he gets down to the end and he's written, you know, 10 of these things and he gets the last one wrong. And so the classmates are kind of snickering that, ha ha, you know, he multiplied, you know, whatever, 9 times 9 incorrectly. And so he made the point that, you know, look at all these other, you know, calculations that I did. All those were great, but everyone just wanted to focus on the one negative one, whereas you didn't see all the great stuff that you did that added to it. And so I think that's kind of one of the things that we go through as a people is we tend to focus strictly on the negatives when we need to be focusing, you know, tremendously on the positives. And so this is where I go back into this mentality of if you were to go through and line up 100 individuals, so in my case, men, 100 men that are 48 years old, you know, where do I rank amongst these people? And so, well, you've got to consider, you know, 25% of Americans get their physical activity through their job and only through their job. But unfortunately, we have a lot of office jobs. So there's 25% of people in in America that don't work out at all. They don't have a gym membership, anything like that. So if we're going through and we're ranking everyone from 1 to 100, well, so I just jumped to 26 on the list immediately because I'm regularly in the gym. So just through that part alone, okay, so I've already shifted my way up. And, you know, so then you've got, you know, out of all the gym goers, on average, they're not attempting to become, or they're not bodybuilding. Mainly they're just working out to maintain. And so maybe they're only there 1 or 2 days a week. And so now I'm continuing to leapfrog all the way up, you know, into the higher levels. And so I would consider myself as, you know, like a solid B. Yeah, as a B plus, you know, where I'm in that nice percentile. But I always want to keep focusing on the stuff that is ahead of me, as opposed to all the, you know, the people that are behind me. I hope that makes sense without me saying, oh, well, you know, I'm better than these people. It's more along the lines of a mentality of, hey, you know, you're just by showing up, okay, you're already halfway there. So you're going through and you're doing these things. And so then again, going back to the idea of sometimes I find the articles and sometimes the articles find me. So there, we tend to focus on success, and I certainly want people to do that. And so I want to break down for people, you know, so, hey, if you think you're, you know, a failure or what they're doing wrong, so let's just go through and let's change your perspective a little bit. And so we are told to focus completely on our success. We're told, you know, fake it until you make it. And really, I'm not even entirely certain what that means. So I suppose it could be, you know, act as if, you know, so you go through and, you know, act like you know you're going to be a champion one day. And I do think that that's important. And so a lot of times people start out and they say, okay, well, so I'm going to go through and I'm going to start this fitness journey. And how am I going to get there? What am I going to do? Well, so let's first figure out what that big goal is. And I'm not saying that big goals are bad. I think it's important to have both big goals and small goals. But the big goal is okay, because that kickstarts your journey. That's what gets you motivated to get out and get it started. But then the problem is that that big goal, you're only going to attain it through a whole lot of hard work. So you're going to be disappointed most of the time, because let's say if you're at 270 and you want to get to 215, until you get to 215, there is no joy because you're so busy focused, you know, on the 215. So when you get to 265 or 250, you're not feeling the same level of joy because you're strictly focused on those big goals. So big goals are important. I do think small goals are important, so that way you can go through, you can appreciate the little things. But one of the things that we are not, that we're told, so we've got to have this, you know, this great visual idea of what we want to be, and we need to focus completely on our success. But what if we started thinking about our failures? And if we go through and we use those failures as motivation, because by going through and doing that, then we're able to maintain. So you have to go through, and this is sometimes a difficult thing to do. But again, because I'm a science fiction guy, I'm a fantasy writer, I'm a comic book writer. So mm-hmm. I tend to think a lot of times about, so the multiverse is really big right now. Because yes. of the movies and television shows. So everyone talks about the multiverse. And so the problem is we can't visualize where our lives could be. Typically you go through and like the three major tent poles of your life, who you get married to, what job you take, and then if you decide to have kids or not. Because those are those big, you know, major watershed moments where you go like, this is where my life, you would take a drastically different path. A drastically different path if I chose, you know, not to have kids, as opposed to me, I chose to have three kids. So it's difficult for me to look back and try to calculate where my life would be as a result of this. But so we have to embrace the idea of visualizing failure. And so whenever we go through and we do that, so say, for instance, just to be real honest, I'm afraid of growing old. Now, I know this is an inevitable thing. It's going to happen. There's nothing that I can do to stop it. But at the same time, so like if like I'll see an elderly person that is, you know, shopping and they're not moving well. And so that's one of my fears is like, man, I don't want to get to that stage. So this is where I go back to one of my all-time idols is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I want to say Arnold just celebrated his 75th birthday. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I think he celebrated his 75th birthday. And he's still moving and grooving and doing his thing. And he says it's because lifting weights is going through and it rolls back time. And so as a result, so he goes through and he's moving well. And you have been an inspiration for that with me as well. It's given me something to shoot for, because I think you have to find a way to embrace that failure. What you can do, you embrace that failure by thinking about what can go wrong. And so this is the reason why I'm doing it. That's one of the things that I have, you know, I've preached about, is you have to find your why. You have to figure out why are you doing this? Why do you want to do this? And so while you can do it for other people, certainly, but you mainly have to want to do it for yourself. You're the reason because you want to improve your life. So I want to continue to remain healthy. I want to continue to remain mobile. And so just to throw in just a little soupçon of personal part of in here, I've always said this is what I want to do. I want to be able to walk my little girl down the aisle on my original knees without wheezing and without the aid of a rascal scooter. You know, I want to, you know, be a striking form or a cut in my tuxedo, you know, whenever I walk her down the aisle. So that's part of the reason why I do it. It's not the only reason. It's the icing on the cake, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of one of those things that it gives me a little bit extra motivation, you know, to know, hey, these guys aren't doing it. They're not, you know, let's just get one more rep because the other guy isn't doing it. So I think it's important for that to go through and embrace that idea of failure. What would I do if things go wrong, and how bad will it be while I fail? And so how bad would it be if I fail? So again, this goes back to, I've been working for the same company now for over 10 years. I still haven't used a sick day, and I'm not entirely certain. So it's, people can ask, well, you know, why do I go to work? Because if I don't go to work, my kids don't eat. So now I'm doing it for someone else. I'm doing it to make sure that their, you know, home life is stable and all taken care of. And so by going through and doing that, that's giving me that extra motivation. So I'm thinking about, you know, what would happen if I didn't do this? What would the doctors be saying about me if I had gone through and not taken up bodybuilding back in, you know, 2014, where would my numbers all be at? And so I'm not telling people, I'm not encouraging you to beat yourself up. I'm not encouraging you to, you know, proclaim that you're a loser or anything like that. But so what I'm asking you to do is to think about what you would do if you weren't doing the things to go through and improve yourself. So in one of the articles that I was reading, it was really quite fascinating, talking about how we have to learn to embrace this failure. And it's because, so one of the things, think about how our bodies are hardwired. And I know I've already mentioned a couple movies in this, but I'm going to throw another one in there. So there's a Disney comedy from back, I want to say back in the 90s, called Rocket Man. And so it's about the first manned mission to Mars, and it's a comedy. And there's at one point where there's an accident, and there's this equipment laying upon one of the astronauts. And so the comedic foil comes in, and he says, "Call me mommy." And so the straight laced astronaut is like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, when a mother knows that her child's in danger, you know, she can get tremendous amount of strength. So come on, Commander, call me mommy." And mommy, save me. And so then he's able to lift up the equipment because he's under the impression that he's saving, you know, this guy's life. He's convinced himself that that's what he's doing. So and while that is very funny, I mean, if you think about it, we move faster away from danger than we do towards something that's positive. If you put me where I'm gonna move much faster away from a rattlesnake than I am towards a pretty girl. It's a thing where it's just like, yep, I don't want anything to do with that, so I'm out of here. And so our brains can be hardwired pretty darn quickly to learn to avoid these things. And so if you have a traumatic event in your life, especially if you're a kid, it takes a lot to overcome that fear. So if you eat at a restaurant and you get sick after that restaurant, you're not going back there for a really long time. Why? Because that negative is there the whole time. All of us, at some point in our lives, we have had a nightmare experience with some form of alcohol. And after they get through that experience, what's the first thing that they do? They swear off booze. They're like, I am never drinking that again. So our bodies are hardwired to think of, to react and to, you know, respond to these negative things. So by you going through, if someone were to come along and basically say, if a doctor were to come along and say, hey, look, you've got to start working out or you're going to die. That right there is some pretty darn good motivation for someone to come along and get this stuff done. So that's where I think it's important to go through and embrace that concept of failure. The what would I be doing if it wasn't because of this? Where would my health be at? Where would my life be at? Where would I be if I just suddenly decided I'm going to go through and give this up? Because as we talked about last month, you know, it's cold. We've gone through the time change. It's difficult to go through and get out of bed in the morning. You know, it's hard. We got the electric blanket on. You're warm and cozy. Now I've got to do what? I got to go up and lift weights. Oh, come on. So it can be now. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. I really do. Sometimes that getting up in the gym, it's the best part of my day. But in his book, Ego is the Enemy, Ryan Holiday talked about this, and spoilers, the ego is the enemy. And so what he's talking about is that the ego wants you to stay comfortable. The ego wants you to stay in bed because the ego doesn't want to be told you're a failure. You can't do this. You can't lift that weight. Because then we start to feel bad about ourselves. But so in the article that I was reading, this gentleman said, we need to go through and we need to do the opposite. We need to go through and embrace that failure. And so by going through and doing that, we have to start thinking about the idea of what could go wrong. And so since we're friends on here, we're family, I've always tried to be, you know, just as honest as I could. And
you know,
so
you're phenomenally honest, and you're very generous in sharing, your process and your thoughts. So there's no question about your honesty.
Well, good. I thank you for that. But so, over 10 years ago, I was living in a situation where it was very hand to mouth, and so living in that lifestyle was very difficult for me. And so if I wanted to come along and buy a DVD, or if I wanted to buy a book, or get some comics and stuff like that, it wouldn't be too, it was like miraculously in a few more days after that, after I had made a personal purchase for myself, I was made to be felt that now we don't have any money. You know, and it was never directly, you know, it's like, well, if you wouldn't have bought that book, the kids could eat dinner. You know, it's like the implication was there. And so I began to feel so bad about that, I internalized that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I still haven't gotten over that. So my boss has said, I had kids pretty early in life. And so now they all legally can be tried as adults. And, you know, so my boss has told me, he's really kind of surprised that, you know, if we have a 3-day weekend or something like that, he's like, why aren't you hopping on the plane and going to Vegas? You know, he was like, you can get flights for you. And he's pulling out numbers and stuff. And he's like, just go to Vegas. You don't even need a hotel room, you know, and then come back. Just go and relax. And I could do that. I certainly could. But if I go through and if I do that, I know that while I'm gone, the refrigerator is going to break down. And so then the money that I spent on myself for something fleeting, I won't have the money in hand that I would have had to go through and pay for that refrigerator. Now, is that actually going to happen? I honestly don't know. But you start to see my mentality of why I am the way I am. And so in talking with this just here last week with my daughter, it was a thing where I'm going through and I'm paying for security. I am paying for that security, knowing that if the refrigerator does break down, can I just go buy a new one? Yes, I can. You know, because I've turned my life around. I've got, you know, I could rub a couple nickels together. I'm by no means wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but I've gone through with smart planning. And so I think by going through and doing that, I'm embracing that the possibility of that failure, and I've already got a way to defeat it whenever it comes around. So by us going through and doing this, you can actually go through, and they have evidence where you can change the neural pathways within your brain to do this. And I think that a great way for people to exercise that, since we're talking about exercise, that's pun intended, But so by going through and learning to embrace the failure of what could go wrong, and I think if you go through and you do that, you will find yourself tremendously motivated, and then but then still go through, have your small goals, have your big goals, and then use that embracing the concept of failure of what could go wrong. And by going through and doing that, I think you're going to see, you will start to see yourself moving upwards on a forward, what's the word that I'm looking for? A forward projection, an upward projection, you know, where it's like, hey, all right, yeah, things are going up, things are getting better, and I'm finding myself getting closer and closer to my goal. But in order to do it, you have to do something that's fairly counterintuitive, which is to think about all the stuff that can go wrong, so that way you can be prepared for it whenever it does.
That's a very interesting concept. The ancient Stoics believed in that as well, that you should spend time meditating on what can go wrong or what is going wrong, and that was a very productive thing to do. And you explained perfectly how it is a very productive thing to do. I learned long ago that mistakes or failures are just part of the process of learning. So I learned not to beat myself up if something doesn't work out, because I learned something. And sometimes in order to get a successful outcome, you have to have a whole string of failures. It won't make sense until you've succeeded what each failure taught you that led you to eventually succeed. So
you're absolutely correct, and I subscribe to that as well. I mean, failure, oh, she is a harsh mistress. Oh, but you learn. The lessons that she teaches you, I honestly believe, I think we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. And so to equate that back to a real-world thing, I'm doing some ghost editing for a company right now. And so I'm going through and I'm helping this individual out with a project that he's doing. And at the beginning of the document that I'm writing for him, along with the edits themselves, and then also at the end, I've gone through and I've kind of made it a point to go, man, look, I know it feels like I am just going through here and tearing you, just all sorts of brand new holes as I go through, as I'm tearing this book apart. But I promise you, it's because we learn more from the stuff that we've done wrong as opposed to the stuff that we're doing right. So I have to kind of go through here, and it's like, I'll get you through it, don't worry. But so when it sounds like I'm just, tearing this thing apart, I promise I'm not. But it's that whole thing of where I want it to be as good as it possibly can be. And so unfortunately, in order to do that, I have to kind of point out the things that I don't like. And so that can be – that's a harsh – thing. It's tough for people to go through and to have that criticism laid there before them. But I think if you're coming in with the right attitude of, hey, he wants to make this book better, he wants to make it as good as it possibly could be, it's not personal, I just want to know, how would you fix this thing, how would you make it better? And by going through and doing that, it's tough for us to go through and look at the mirror and take a real honest assessment of ourselves and go, man, what do I need to fix? But again, this is where I go back to the book that Ryan Holiday wrote, where ego is the enemy, where ego says, oh, no, you're fine exactly the way you are. But we know change is difficult. But once you break through it, it's one of the best things that you can experience.
Well, that's very true. A lot of folks see the world differently, however. I was meditating on this, and the image that I got in my mind is someone sitting in a car, looking out the side window, and they're oblivious to where they're going, but they just kind of move along because life moves along. And I remember living my life that way, and I know many people do live their lives that way. This is life, and we're along for the ride, and it goes where it goes. You're right, fighting against the currents that take you anywhere they wish. You have to learn how to swim. You have to learn how to row. You have to learn how to do all sorts of things. And you're going to make tons of mistakes until you master the currents.
But in going through and swimming, either against that current but you're going to grow strong. And
you're going to grow
stronger. That's the most important thing. Right.
There's an individual who I don't agree with politically at all. Our political ideas may be worlds apart. However, back in the 90s, he wrote a book that I found phenomenally valuable in navigating through life. It was called The Joy of Failure, How to Fail Your Way to the Top. And it was written by Wayne Allen Root. Wayne Allen Root is known now for his right-wing political views. But back then, he had dreams of becoming like the new Jimmy the Greek. And in this book, okay, he showed you how he continued to fail but wouldn't give up. And how with each failure, he learned something that eventually led him to exactly where he wanted to be. And he wasn't in control of how long it took, but he knew that if he didn't give up, he would get there. And he did. He got there with his unlikely goal. And I had some sort of entertainment happening back then, and I wanted to interview him. I didn't get to interview him, but I spoke to the president of one of his companies. And that was a very enlightened conversation and helped me reframe how I looked at everything I was doing. So that was very helpful as well. So
well,
we don't
there's
know.
There's
will teach us.
Right. There's a samurai proverb that says, fall seven times, rise eight. And it's the same thing. And in talking about what you just said, to expand upon that slightly, that's always been my message, for so many people, is that you have to find what works for you. And so it's going through and just quite, it's cherry picking, adapting, as you said, not stealing, adapting, you know, these new ideas into something that you can go through and develop into something that will work for you. And so that's where, so hopefully tonight, that's what I've done, is I've presented a fairly new technique that people may not have considered, which is to go through and embrace failure and think about what could go wrong and use that as motivation. And if so, then hopefully they can go through and adapt it into their own program.
Some of the guests that we have or hosts that we have on the show, what they do in preparing is they write like articles and put the articles at various places online. You've shared so much useful information. I think that if you just took your notes and fleshed them out a bit, you'd have a best-selling book because your information is phenomenally great.
It's a thing where I continue to develop that idea, and boy, and just a real shameless plug here, because I know we haven't had a chance to talk about it in our own personal communications, but just this week, this past Friday, I published a new novel. It is somewhat different from the other books that I've done before. But in going through and doing this, so now this is my third time working with Amazon and their KDP publishing system. So I'm starting to get that figured out. I'm really starting to hone in and really utilize the system that they have to my advantage. And so I think at some point it's really just a matter of time where, yeah, we've talked so much. I think it's only a matter of time before I go through and finally do, you know, put my story down in paper. And then I'll go through and do it. It's right now it's the matter of finding enough time to go through and get that done. But that is something that I think I'm definitely going to start moving towards.
We will,
as long as you promise. If you promise to write the foreword for it, I'll work on getting that taken care of.
Oh, I'd be honored. I just wrote the foreword for another one of our hosts who's an author. So I'd be phenomenally honored to write yours. We have a minute left. How can people contact you? Where can they go to find your work? You have several sites. You have several sites with instruction. How can they find those?
How you go through and you promote me on Facebook is probably the absolute best way for people to get most in contact with me. And then if they go through and they look me up on Amazon.com, they're going to have almost the entire library of all my published work, including my newest release, which is called Clown Zero. Clown Zero, I think it's probably the only book that currently has that unique title. So I think if you go through and you search that, I'm going to be the first one that pops up. It's a comedy horror book that is very difficult for me to explain in such a short amount of time, but Clown Zero, if you go through and you look at it and you read the synopsis, if you think it sounds interesting, I encourage everyone to buy a copy.
I encourage them to do that as well. And let's I'll contact you via PM. Let's make a show where we talk about your new book.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, be well, my friend. Happy holidays, and thanks for everything.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.